Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I just thank the Lord as our Heavenly Father. Happy Father's Day, Father. Thank you, Lord, for what you do in our lives as you continue to do that on a daily basis. You're very faithful. We're blessed for that and all the things you continue to do. So help us acknowledge that too, and also acknowledge our fathers, our husbands, and our grandfathers. That's all three in one, right? That's not too bad, huh? So that's good. You're doing good. You know, as Jim, Matt, and I have seen all you people grow, and as fathers, husbands, and grandfathers, they've had a lot of growth. We're blessed to have you here all with us today, and some even online, too, that it's important, and we're blessed to keep doing what you're doing, because we're all part of it. As fathers, husbands, heads, and priests of home, you know, where we do those type of things that need to get done. And we're thankful because our eyes are on you, Lord. So thank you once again for that. As we go to the scripture in Psalm 91, please. It's the first and second chapter, and then 14 to 16. I kind of skipped around a little bit. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Now going to 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Just join me in prayer this morning, Father, the Lord. Let's go. Lord God, we're just in awesome your presence as you're very busy today, Father God, as you're around touching all our fathers, as you are Heavenly Father. You know, I hope you are blessed many times over around this world, Father God, that honor you and praise you and just bless. We continue to pray as I know you are the answer for everything we'll always need. You have the way, the truth, the life. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for how you've worked in all of us, even though we're in these storms, but our eyes on you, Father God. And there is such a narrow path, but we receive everything we need to receive today as we continue going on. I ask you, Lord, to bless my brother David, his mind, his heart, as the word goes through him like rivers of living water, as he continues to draw strength from you even at this time, Father God, that we be open to receive what's coming today. And today's a new day, so rejoice and be glad in it. So we thank you for another day. We thank you that we can have the freedom to worship you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And we're just in awe of your presence, and we're thankful for, once again, help us always be open, be about the Father's business, as we say, on a daily basis, because a lot of things, as we've seen, we get a dying world out there, it's very evil, very corrupt, but on all that being said, a lot of us still have to work in it. So it says not be part of it, but work in it, and we're going to work hard. We still got things to do out there, because there's a lot of people out there, a lot of hurting people, just are looking around, and they're grasping anything. They're flowing with the public. We're flowing with things that are not good, not a good situation there. So they need to know you as Lord and Savior. They need to know where they will go when they die. They'll need to know things beyond that, too, as we start at that beginning point, the day of salvation. Is that so those days come, and then before you know it, we're into the life, part of that life that God has shown us that's coming. But the thing is, we've always got to remember, He is our refuge. He's with us at all times. He will not forsake us. That's one promise of many, Lord. So we're thankful for those promises that we've read in your word. And help us keep our eyes on. Seek you first in your righteousness. All these other things be added unto him. And I also lift up once again, Pastor Matthew and Kathy. Continue to draw them to you, Father God, for the strength, the upcoming trip, the things that they're going to go through, Father God, that they will keep dear in their hearts. But they'll, when they come back, they'll be able to share a lot of things. We're blessed to have them here as a pastor and his wife. And thank you, Lord, for this body. Because whether you're single, when you're married, you're still a child of God. He cares about everyone. He doesn't care where you've come from. He takes you right where you're at. So that's the thing I love about you, Lord, that you look at the heart. We have a mind of Christ. Once we come to know you as Lord and Savior, we know we're here just part-time, and we'll join you eventually in eternal life with you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
My glasses, everything else. When you get my age,
yeah, when you get my age,
you tend to have more body parts on a nightstand than anything. So. Amen.
Why don't you lead us in prayer for Guy?
Okay. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you. And Guy, if you're watching this, we're praying and we're thinking of you through the day. Lord, I just pray your healing upon him, Lord God.
Yes.
Healing for his back. That, Lord God, the swelling would go down.
Yes.
That, Lord, he would begin to get the proper feeling in his legs. The sciatica would go now in Jesus' name.
Yes.
That he would get his strength back. Yes. Lord, we pray that as he's in that, as he's in Ludlow there at the rehab.
He's actually in Springfield.
Oh, in Springfield, yeah. Okay. Things change minute by minute. Lord, we pray that you would just touch him.
Yes.
Be with him. And Lord, we thank you for the word that's buried deep in his heart, that he can share your word, that there have been salvations, nurses and a friend that have come to Christ through this situation. So in the bleakest of times, Lord, your light shines. We thank and praise you for this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
We love you, Guy.
Hey, and just to let you all know, Guy is not in, they brought him to Encompass Rehab Center in Ludlow, down by Springfield, but he started having lapses again of slurring speech and all, and they were fearful of another stroke. So they sent him to Bay State Medical Center in Springfield, and that's where he's at now. All right, and from there, you know, it's kind of up in the air when he does go back to Encompass, but Encompass couldn't handle the problems that he's, medical issues that he's dealing with. So they put him back over into Bay State. So be praying for him.
Amen. I just want to remind people we've got waters out here. I had the job of picking waters up yesterday. There had to be 24. So if you get a water, take it back out with you. Don't grab another new one. Finish the sucker off. Okay? I told Pastor I was going to save him for him so he could do his little water illustration up here every Sunday. You know, where he pours and it empties and then it fills up again. Amen.
I got an idea.
What?
We can always empty your water on the gardens as you're leaving. There's flowers that...
Well, yeah. Amen.
The rest of your water, you don't want it.
Okay. I'm going to pull this beautiful thing out right here. I'm going to need some help from somebody. Rob, get up here, will you?
Give me a minute.
I may need someone back there. Watch the cross. So we had this great idea of, back your way a little more. There we go. Well, I got to tell you something, and I don't mean to embarrass my wife, but we were up till 4 a.m. talking, maybe even yelling a little, because we had to make a decision, a $7,000 decision. And as you know, my wife is very contemplative, very contemplative. And we had to make the decision this morning. So I didn't want to lose $7,000. So we were up until I changed her mind. So I've gotten 3 hours sleep. So if I start nodding off up here, someone come slap me, do something, all right?
I'll volunteer.
Oh, yeah. Carol, she's the one that prays for me. Lord, dangle him over the pits of hell that he might feel the fire. Amen.
I have a feeling she's giving you a slapper.
Yeah. Amen. She has. We're going to talk a little bit about holiness. Is holiness for the church today?
Yes.
Jesus.
Hmm?
Yes.
Okay.
Amen.
I drew this thing up, taped it up here, and we did it yesterday in the dark. So I had this thing in my mind this morning when I woke up, and it doesn't look quite the way I pictured it. But we're going to do what we can with it, all right? So I'm going to draw this line right over the green tape. Makes it pretty easy, doesn't it? You know that in life there is a line. There is a line. If we, the middle part of Proverbs talks about contrasting uprightness and wickedness. Okay, upright. I hope you guys can see this. Even though you see it, you may not read it.
Wickedness, yeah.
So there's a line, okay? And I think every one of us can say that we were below the line before we met Christ, huh? Right? Well, in Proverbs, especially chapters 10 through 17, it shows that contrast, all right? And we're going to get some of the contrast. And really what it is it's a contrast for those that follow the law and those that don't follow the law. And those verses are alive and ripe for us today. Okay? Those of us that are saved and not saved. So let's get into some more of the contrast. Let's turn to let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 6:11 through 7:1. So in talking about holiness, holiness means what?
Separate.
Separate. Separate. Okay, set apart. Another word for holiness is sanctification. Another word is godliness. And then we're going to get into the word perfection in the end. All right? Pew Report. Seven out of 10 people that go from here to here stay there. 7 out of 10 church-going believers, Christians, never leave this area right here. They're saved. They're good. They come to church on Sunday. Give her 2% or whatever they give and, you know, whatever. But they are happy and content staying there. And part of the problem is this, and it doesn't happen in this church because I've heard too much of the word from the leadership in this church. I've heard too much of the word from pastor that he is always getting us to look at ourselves. Stretching us, okay, to a place of holiness. And I got to tell you, holiness, it's a lifelong endeavor. Okay, it's a lifelong endeavor. Little history. We see in the New Testament that the apostles talked about holiness. They lived holiness, okay? They lived in it. So what is holiness? Let's define it again. It's being separated, being set apart. It's a life of discipline, focus, attention to matters of righteous living. So it's a matter of us making the right decisions, putting ourselves in the place for the Holy Spirit to act and to take us to a place where we need to be up here. Okay? We don't stay here. It's been said many times before, if you stop moving, you're going backwards.
Right.
And we're going to read in Scripture also the dangers of staying here. There's a real danger in it, okay? Saved. So let's read this Scripture real quick. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You're not restricted by us, but you're restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. There's a line drawn right there. Don't be unequally yoked. Now some people go, oh yeah, there he goes. There he goes. Okay, don't hang out with them and don't. Well, guess what? We're not to be of the world, we're in it. And guess what? We're not of it. But how do we reach the lost if we don't touch them? Right? But what it means is this. I mean, in AA, they had this saying that said, well, if you go to the barbershop enough, you'll get a haircut, which means go hang out at the bar enough and you'll take a drink. Okay? The thing is if you're unequally yoked and you continue just hanging out with people that are unrighteous and don't share the same beliefs, don't share in Christ like you do, chances are before you pull them up, before we don't want to give people a hand out, we want to give them a hand up. Before we can pull them up, they pull us down. We need to be strengthened by one another. So these are things we need to remember. So there's one line right there. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Uh-oh, righteousness. Boy, that's awful. And if there's misspellings, keep it to yourself. Amen? I never want a spelling bee. Amen. Righteousness and lawlessness. There's a line drawn there. Okay? Let's keep reading. And what communion has light with dark? Right? That's another one. Light. Well, you got better handwriting than me, Don. I may get you up here writing. Let's go on. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Satan. Satan.
That's right.
So we got Christ. Another line. Satan. And I just got to say this. I was up till 4 o'clock this morning, and I got in my truck and I listened to this song from Unsung Hero. It's got a kind of rap and rock in it. It's got Lecrae and who else is in it, Kaylee? What's a rock group in there? Who is it? I don't know, but there's five words that are very important. I want you to write these down. To hell with the devil. Amen?
Ooh, like
to hell with the devil. All right? So now there's a line drawn. Now when we're talking about holiness, from the very beginning, holiness was always a part of a believer's life. Holiness was always a part of the church. And then somehow the church as a whole got away from holiness. The more recent movements was John and Charles Wesley. He was a holiness preacher. Okay, spoke on holiness. A lot of people didn't buy into it because he talked about perfection as well. But no, people misunderstood what he was talking about. From there came the Keswick movement. Keswick, spelled K-E-S-W-I-C-K, which involves people like the utmost for his highest. Who wrote that? Oswald Chambers, Billy Graham, Charles Finney. They preached holiness. They weren't happy going to church and seeing their congregation stay right here. Okay? If you're saved, you're saved. Amen. But God wants more from us. He wants that personal relationship. He wants us to grow in Him. He wants us to learn His love and how to love others.
Exactly.
The love is not always unsticky. Love can be a mess sometimes. Especially when we got to love those that don't care for us. You know? Let's continue. And what agreement? Oh, wait a minute. It says here, or what part has a believer with unbelievers? Uh-oh, another line. Believer, unbeliever. Infidel. Can you guys see these? Amen. Okay. All right. Look. Doesn't anyone here have a license to stone me? Amen. We'll leave the judging to Jesus. Amen. Thank God. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Another line drawn. Okay, if you read through Proverbs, especially chapters 10 through 18, talks about the contrast of uprightness and wickedness. That's why I read Proverbs. I try and read it to my family. Whatever day it is, I try and read that whole chapter. Today's chapter 16. It's big on wickedness and uprightness, the contrast between the two. So look. What's the dangers of staying here?
You don't move, you don't grow.
You don't move, you don't grow. The other problem is this. You're so close to that line,
yeah.
Right? The line starts to what? Blur. Blurred lines. There's a song, Blurred Lines. Yeah. The line begins to blur. Things that Christians shouldn't indulge in begin to be a part of them. God always wants us moving. He wants us growing.
Right.
He wants us working towards holiness.
Yes.
Okay? And these are notes that I I taught these to our young men at a men's home in Maine. And I kind of looked at those notes online or in the computer, and it's a 4-week study. I didn't think you guys wanted to do that. So I had to compress it. So if I'm going too fast, slow me down. If you've got something to add, add it. All right? So there's nothing wrong with holiness. Nothing wrong, and I'm not talking about denominations or movements or anything, but the Keswick movement called that. Simpson, who started the Missionary and Christian Missionary Alliance. Tozier, kept part of the Keswick movement. Holiness, holiness. Holiness, always looking up, okay? I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. We're called to come out from below the line to above the line. Get above the green thing. All right? Do not touch what is unclean. And I will receive you, I will be a father to you, and you shall... Well, what a wonderful verse for Father's Day. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. And now let's go to chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, I have these promises, beloved. Let us cleanse ourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves. That kind of implies what? That there's something we got to do.
That's right.
Right? Now, what came out of the Keswick movement is a saying that we all say. You guys didn't realize this, did you? Let go and let God.
Yeah.
Okay? Our run or our climb to here, and this is a lifelong endeavor, okay, isn't based on works. It's based on faith in God and
right.
Trusting in Him,
right.
Growing in Him, growing that relationship. Growing in love, okay? As we do that, guess what happens?
Intimacy.
He leads us to the works that He wants us to do. The works are just a sidebar to what we're to do in Him, okay? Don't think ever that works get you up there.
Nope.
Okay? It's your faith in Him as you're growing. Getting into this Word. Got to talk to Him daily. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and perfect holiness in the fear of God. So that's another big thing up here. In order to begin to attain holiness, fear of God. We've got the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Okay. Oh, come on. Do I know how to spell Lord? Please. Okay. Four a.m. is right. I'll never do that again. I'm sorry, sweetie. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So, look. I said that works doesn't get us there. All right. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 8. So the contrast, upright, wickedness, believer, unbeliever, righteousness, lawlessness, light, dark, Christ, Satan, all right, temple of God, idols, holiness, uncleanliness. Stark contrast. So the Keswick movement, and I'm not attaining to any sort of denomination or anything, they called this up here the high life. High life. You guys have heard that term, high life?
Yes.
I'm not talking Miller high life, amen. I'm not talking Miller now. Please, come on. Let's get it right. It's called the high life. So these are pleas. When we read 7:1, there's a plea for our purity, and it goes on right here in 1 Thessalonians 4. Finally then, brother, we urge you, exhort in the Lord Jesus, that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us, how you ought to walk and please God. We want to please God. Okay? When we grow stagnant and stay right here, it's tough to please Him because He wants us to grow in Him. He wants us to have that relationship with Him, to mature. And it takes time. You don't believe in Christ and then the next day you're in the high life. Right? It doesn't happen that way. We grow in it. And guess what? It's a daily thing. Okay? You'll find that there's parts of you that if you're up here, you fall back down this way. But daily, you've got to go to Christ and ask for forgiveness and ask for His help. Okay? And then many times you'll find that in His love, you've really learned how to love someone. And this is really what it's about, God's love. Leaning on the Holy Spirit. Let's go on here. Verse 2, for you know what commandments we give you through the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. I told you that word sanctification means holiness, means godliness, okay? Set apart. That's the first thing I learned when I went to Teen Challenge. I said, wow, we're up here in the sticks. Teen Challenge, Vermont. I said, you're set apart, brother. If you want to leave, it's going to be tough. And I took off one night. I told Pastor, I said, look, man, you told me this was 15 and a half weeks. And he said, I did not. I had gone to a chapel, a graduation chapel, 15 and a half months to commence. I said, that's it. So, Pastor, you know, I told Pastor Rick, I said, I'm out, I'm gone. And the further I walked away, I heard sounds and noises. I think I saw lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. And I ran back, and I said, well, maybe we'll try this tomorrow morning. He says, well, it's Sunday morning, we got ministry. I said, well, good. If you're driving more south, I'll be closer. I'll go through the ministry, and then I'll leave. I'm going to bring my bags with me. And somehow the Lord changed my heart. The Holy Spirit tugged on me. And I was able to get through. And for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from... Now we're talking about sexual immorality, okay? that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion and lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. So again, a line's drawn there. He's basically talking to the Jews. He's ministering in Thessalonica, but guess what? Many of the Gentiles did not know God. That no one should take advantage and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all, such as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but holiness. There's another line. Uncleanliness, but called us to holiness. So there's a real distinction here. And the title of this message is Holiness for the Church, and I think we've established that. It's for the church today, and it's for each and every one of us. Yes. Now, this church is a Bible-believing church, and Pastor has no qualms, and the leadership here have no qualms in stretching us. They have no qualms in telling us what's truthfully in here. So I'm not necessarily talking about this church. But in your own hearts, begin to look at this and see maybe where you're not running or walking or going to a place of holiness on a daily basis. All right? Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Rejecting the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Imagine that. Holy Spirit. He's come to give us power. Jesus didn't leave us alone. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And we can lean on the Holy Spirit at any point in time.
Right.
You know, everybody hears the word Holy Spirit or hears the name Holy Spirit, his name, and they're just thinking, oh, the gifts and, you know, miracles. No, it's our day-to-day life. The Holy Spirit should indwell us. In our day-to-day living, in our day-to-day actions. All right? So that's what Paul tells us about holiness. How about the writer of Hebrews? Let's go to Hebrews 12. And we're going to go right from verse 1. I wasn't going to do this, but I think we will. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Run with endurance. I don't run anymore. As a matter of fact, I didn't run much anyway, but I don't run anymore. Well, we got to know what God is saying here, what the Word is saying here, okay? If you're sitting still, you're going backwards. We got to set our eyes on the goal and keep going for it, all right? I told you, the dangers of staying here is the lines get blurred. Let me keep reading. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despite the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Disciplining God here. For consider him who endures such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. I don't think anybody here has been, you know, crucified,
no.
Let alone been mocked to the point of bloodshed. Many of us have been mocked.
I've been mocked.
For the Word of God and for other things too, but I have been mocked. Amen. But I haven't shed any blood for Christ. You've forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Oh my, the chastening. What does that mean? Anybody? Discipline. Discipline. Have you ever been disciplined by God? As we grow here, you're going to run into times where you're going to be disciplined. You're going to come into situations, okay, where you're up until 4 in the morning. You're going to run into situations, okay, where sometimes you might take a wrong turn and God has His way of going. If you're open to it. If you allow it, okay? What this is really talking about is in discipline that we're to, I wouldn't say enjoy it, but we're not to despise it. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. Who's been rebuked by God before? I picked up the Word of God so many times where I'm like, well, I know I'm right on this. He says, no, you're not. Read that. I'm like, okay, I'm not right on that, but I'm right on this one. Keep going. God's got His ways, you know. Many times, you know, we'll sit on a Sunday morning and hear something, you know. Or as brothers in Christ should do, brothers and sisters in Christ should do. You know, if you see a brother doing something that isn't quite right, if you love them, what are you going to do? You're going to go to them, right? You should. All right. In love. Amen. Don't be discouraged when you're rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens. We don't look at it that way many times, but you know, when we're chastened, He's loving us because He wants us to do it right. He wants us to go in the right direction. He wants us to go to the high life. Amen. And scourge every son whom he receives. Scourge, oh my Lord. Woo! So His rebuke and His scourging and His chastening come out of His love for us. You know? If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with a son. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Or even a daughter? Amen. Many times we have to correct our children. Many times they don't like it. In the end, it's the right thing to do if we want to guide and direct them. It's our, you know, our children are on loan to us from God. And He wants us to teach them properly. But if you are without chastening, which all have become takers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. We don't have a father if we're not chastened. If we don't receive His chastening, we don't have a father. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not more readily be in subjection to the Father of the Spirit and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them, but He, for our profit, that we may be partakers of His, what? Holiness. We're going to get chastened. We're going to get, if we want to reach that and get there. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. Amen. But painful, nevertheless, after a yield, the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So that's the promise. Oh my goodness. How you doing, girly?
How are you?
Doing well. I hadn't seen my granddaughter in a little while. Amen. It's my son Nick's daughter. And just to share, and I told Jen this, it's not the norm. The children are buried by their parents. That's not normal. I don't care how you put it. Sometimes we don't understand it. Do we? Sometimes we don't. But through time, guess what happens? I'll hear some laughter, or I'll read something, or I'll pull up a video of my son Nick, and man, I'll laugh. And guess what else happens? I'll cry. Grieving can be the longest process. And it's been said before that the longer you grieve, the more you loved. And that's so true. That is so true. So anyway, back to this. Run. We're to run to this. Okay? All right. Now let's look at the word godliness. Why don't we turn to 2 Peter 1, 1 through 11. Second Peter 1, 1 through 11. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's talking knowledge, righteousness. These are all things that we begin to attain as we mature in him, and to try and attain holiness, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So the further from this line we get, we're escaping the blur more and more and more. Okay? You guys with me? Let's hear amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Here we go. And to virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. Ooh. Yeah. One of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Please. Yeah. Self-control. Help me, Jesus. If you love me, you'll watch me. And make sure I don't get into too many of them finger sandwiches this morning. If I give you a look, that means I'm tired. Let me eat. Amen. Amen. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. What does perseverance mean? Keep on going. It also means this, patience. Phew. Long-suffering. Oh, boy. And to perseverance, godliness, holiness, sanctification. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, love. 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 And it starts really right here in the house. You know? We practice on one another. And sometimes it comes out great. Sometimes not so great. But if we begin to practice and perfect it here, we can go out into the world.
That's right.
Why? To show us off?
No.
To show us off? No. Let me read this real quick. Justified in the Spirit, Christ's ministry, identity, and vocation are substantiated by the work of the Spirit. Many believers believe that the more we mature and grow spiritually, the better we look to others. Nope. The more we grow spiritually, the better God looks to others in us. We better show off God, not ourselves.
Right.
You know, the verse has been tossed out many times. It could apply here. Lord, 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 I did this in your name. I did that in your name. I did this in your name. And he said, what did he say?
I never knew you.
Yeah. Depart from me. I never knew you. You know why? You know why? Because they were doing them. They were using Jesus' name, but they were doing them in their own name. Look at me. Look what I did. Pride. Pride. Pride's a killer. Come on. Pride is a killer. Come on now. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another line there. Barren. Oh, I was going to spell it like Trump's son's name. Be help me, Lord. He's with me because I don't know how I'm doing this right now. Unfruitful. Boom. We need to become fruitful. The fruits of the Spirit should be growing in us. Growing in us. And I'll share with you, because my daughter, at one point I was sharing with her kind of what I was doing here. And she goes, where do you fit in this, Dad? And I'm going to show you where I fit. I'll be honest with you. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. That's staying down here. When he forgets them, what? He starts getting blurred, doesn't it? Let's continue reading here. Therefore, brethren, be ever more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble.
Right.
Does that truly mean that?
Yes.
It's in the Word.
Yes, it means.
Okay. Will never stumble. Yes, if. And sometimes we forget that if, don't we? All of us. You do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus and Savior, Jesus Christ. This implies falling into apostasy. It's also implied in chapter... Let's go to chapter 2. I've got to read this. Okay? Chapter 2 is 2 Peter, verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world... They've been saved. Boom, to here. They escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than have known it and turned from the holy commandment delivered to them. Believe you me, when the Word of God is delivered to you, is shared with you, is given to you, guess what? We're not to put it down. We're to study it. We're to read it. We're to allow it to enter our hearts. And the Holy Spirit is so big in this for us. And we need to begin to what? It's got to go from our head to our heart to our feet. A great example is the Israelites. Time and time again, God showed up, gave them favor. They were a favored nation. I'm ready to go back to Egypt. I'd rather be a slave. Really? Well, yeah, I do kind of believe in God, but man... Those bronze and silver and gold statues are something else. Time and time again, yet our God is forgiving and loving each and every time. Each and every time. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallow in the mire. So, if you get saved and you intend to stay just right here, 7 out of 10, Pew Research, 7 out of 10 believers that go to church regularly, for years stay right here? Do you believe that more of them that are up here are going to fall and leave the faith? Or fall and leave church? No, it's right here where they get blurred in. Where they're not reading the Word. They're not praying to God. They're not developing that relationship. They're not becoming mature. They're not learning how to love one another. They're not learning those things. We're called here. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about the danger of that. And I just said it, I just read it, okay? And it's happened to some people because there's other things that came out of it, I think it was a Supreme Court justice said of some of the Keswick movement. You're so heavenly bound, you're no earthly good. Okay? Sometimes, through pride, when you get up here, you forget this right here. We've got to guard ourselves from pride. We've got to guard ourselves. When we mature, the more we mature, we should already begin to know that there are danger zones and places that we shouldn't go. Okay? And being heavenly bound is, I mean, you know, our key thought isn't that we're heavenly bound. That's just something that happens to those that happen to believe and walk in Him, is that we wind up in heaven. But as we look up to God, okay, which we must do, we become more earthly ready to be able to minister God's love to those that need it. All right? I'm not telling you, quit looking up. You know, the holier than thou, that's another phrase that came out of the Keswick movement. People were looking at him, oh, you're holier than thou. You're holier than thou. Sometimes I want to say, well, I might be a little holier than you. But that's, again, pride. Okay? And sometimes there are those that we might get up here and act a little holier than thou because we're forgetting the ones here. Let's stay in the Word. Let's continue.
Okay.
Yes.
And when you get up there, I'm thinking of Jim Jones.
Jim Jones.
And how many people you take with you?
Absolutely. Jim Jones. Okay. 900 and something people. Drinking the Kool-Aid. Because of a man. Not because of Jesus. Originally, they say he started off well. All right? You started off in the Word. Somehow, some way, the Word of God just... And he came up with his own words. He became a cult-like prophet. And when they caught on to him, okay, people sold their homes, their properties, gave away their riches to follow this guy. And when the authorities got on to him, they wound up killing some people, and then they wound up drinking the Kool-Aid. All right? There are men in our lives, men and women in our lives that we love, that speak the truth. Okay? But we never follow them. We always follow God. We always lean on His love, the Holy Spirit. We always fear the Lord. And the fear of the Lord will never bring you to a place, okay, where you worship man. Never bring you there. I'll be done shortly. Okay. Then we can eat. Amen.
We're all right.
We're all right. Okay. Let me see. Where am I at here? You guys are okay. Okay. Turn to 1 Timothy 3:16. And you can preach this. You can read this to yourself every day, and you can preach it, okay? And without controversy, great is the mystery of what? Godliness. Here comes the preaching. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. And without controversy, great is the mystery of His godliness. That's a growth in our conduct. Okay? Godliness. Amen?
Amen.
I got one more scripture to share, but first off, I want to share with you real quickly. Dave Webb. Because we need to begin to assess ourselves. If we don't assess ourselves, we're always okay, right? We're pretty biased about our own selves. But if we assess ourselves honestly in God, like I have been, recently especially, I'll show you where I've been. Like I shared earlier, there are times in God's love that I've sensed I've walked perfectly. And there are times where I'm right back here and it's in that, right in here, where I've got to daily go to God. Daily ask Him, ask the Holy Spirit to fill me, that I might be able to walk the walk.
That's right.
And not just talk the talk. I sin. But He's quick to forgive. As long as we go to Him. As long as we don't keep the stuff buried, okay? Assess yourselves, each and every one of you. Assess yourselves. Where are you at? Are you holy? Are you walking in His holiness? Are you emanating God through your sanctification? Is that what people are seeing? So one of the big hits that John Wesley, and even later on, you know, in the 19th century, the Keswick movement, and it's spelled Keswick, K-E-S-W-I-C-K, but it's pronounced Keswick, is the whole thought of perfection, all right? The whole thought of perfection. Therefore, I'm in Matthew 5:48. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, if God says it in His Word, and He calls us to be perfect, can we be perfect? But how are we going to be perfect? See? What John Wesley is talking about here is perfect in His love. So I got to read some of the verses before that, so that we can get this in context. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemy, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. My daughter Kaylee's has gone through this more recently, feeling though as she's been hated and persecuted. That you may be sons of the Father in heaven, for He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just as well as the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward is that? Most everybody in here love me, I know it. And I love you. And it's kind of easy. Except in your case, Carol, but it's kind of easy. Amen. It's kind of easy. Let's go on with this now. If you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? We've got to love our enemies. That's where the rubber meets the road. And that's where in maturity we hit here. Okay? One last circle. Where's God in all of this? God wants us here, but He's in the whole spiel because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So I want to take one brief moment to talk to those that may be living below this line. Okay? You heard an awful lot today. If there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, there's no time like right now. There's no time like right now. The salvation part's easy. In faith, all you've got to say is, I receive you, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I want to make you Lord in my life. I want to do what you want me to do and not what I want to do anymore. I don't know, is there anyone here that needs the salvation of Jesus Christ in their lives? Now is the time to step up. If you have any questions, come see me afterwards. And if I didn't muddle this too much, go see some of the elders and the leaders. Jim Wallace and Tom Davenport and Rick Rounds. Rob LaBelle. They would easily, most sincerely, talk to you. And if you need Christ, they'll lead you there today. Amen? Amen. Huh?
He did.
Yep. Yeah.
Sorry.
And he's actually in rehab.
Senior moment.
Love you, guy. Oh, yeah. Well, you guys, stick your head over the...
I could see if I was up there.
Yeah, I know.
And I had both feet.
Stand. We're going to close with a song. We have a fellowship time afterwards. We still got a ton of food to eat from yesterday in the reception here. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Peace God wants to give you, each and every one of you. Receive it because it is a gift and he does give it.